number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Friday. He's Big Joe, Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your day. Chris Sanders will join us in about 10 minutes at 10:15. Looking forward to talking to him. Some news out of hockey just coming down. The Vancouver Canucks, their general manager, Patrick Galvin, announced today that the club has agreed to terms with goaltender Kevin Lankinen on a 5-year contract extension worth about $4.5 million a year. So the former Predators goaltender gets a much deserved contract extension with the Canucks, where he signed late in the offseason and kind of has become their guy. So congrats to Lanky.
Does this one hurt?
No, but I mean, you know, I'm sure some Preds fans will be like, oh, he should have stayed.
I'm asking Chase McCabe.
No.
Okay. That's but where I get my knowledge, and I'm good.
He's a, I like him. I'm happy for him. So good for him that he found a home.
Together.
So we'll have Chris coming up in a few minutes. You said you had a question for me.
So, in Keiser had an update this morning I heard for the first time. Elijah Molden, former Titans DB, signed a 3-year, basically $19 million contract extension with the Chargers on Thursday. Big deal. Drafted by?
John Robinson.
Darrington Evans, still in the league. Drafted by?
John Robinson.
Laurel Murchison, still in the league. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Can John Robinson, at his next interview, when they say, well, why did you let A.J. Brown go? And he says, it wasn't my decision. But look at the guys that I did draft that the Titans gave up on. I didn't give up on Molden. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few people like, you know, Murchison came, I think, with the Rams or wherever he went in 22 and gone. Can John Robinson use that when he's talking to the next owner? If I'm an owner, I look at that far more than the A.J. Brown trade.
Okay. Can I play devil's advocate for a second? Because I don't think you're wrong, but let's say he does that. And then the owner or whoever's doing the interview turns around and goes, so are you saying Vrabel was a bad coach? Because, I mean, basically...
That's a good one.
Basically, you're kind of saying, and I don't think you're completely off base with this, that because when you see all these players leave and they go and they do well or have, you know, they're still in the league.
Still in the league. That's the key.
It kind of makes you wonder, and a lot of these guys Vrabel didn't like, and it became very clear that he didn't like him. It's like, so does Vrabel just decide if he, you know, if he's done with a guy, they just suck, or...
I think that's it. I think when he's done, like, you could argue. I mean, you could pull out a few. David Long. I told you he didn't, you know.
Right.
Miss the physical. Or Christian Fulton, wherever he is, you know, he's with the Chargers too as well, I think, right? Hassan Haskins scores a touchdown. I mean, I'm looking like, all right, I still got guys in the league. My job is to bring them in. He doesn't coach them. Now I've given them to you. The guy's got talent.
Right.
Can you develop it?
Right.
Now, Isaiah Wilson, you could say, look, we missed it.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody missed that one.
And then he has to have a mea culpa on Farley and say, that was wrong. I'm sorry. But let's look at, you know, the other one I got, the Byard I got out of that one. You know, the Jeffrey Simmons, who's still a good player. And I did draft A.J. Brown and things are going. I think John Robinson has a lot of cachet that he could use beyond A.J. Brown. You got – how do you run around?
Look, I don't think you're completely off base there. And I, you know, and then the question – and where that's going to help him is if Vrabel just goes to New England and flops.
Good point.
I mean, that's a good point. Because what's happening now? Kraft basically told him, you can pick the players, you can do whatever you want. The GM has been, you know, I don't know the best FCC way to describe it, but clipped, so to speak. And so he can't, you know, make – like. Vrabel released Taki Taki this week, which was the GM's guy. And I think that was just I'm showing you who's in charge.
What's his name? Who are you talking
last
about?
Last name was Taki Taki. I forget his first name.
Who did he play? What did he do?
New England. He's a player.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I never heard of this guy. I like the name, though.
So, I mean, Vrabel's trying to show you he's in charge. I don't trust Vrabel to pick the players. He's a coach. I mean, and we saw it firsthand here. When Jeff Fisher started having more influence on picking the players, what happened?
Yep. I think it's got to be 50-50.
It does. They need each other.
Yeah.
You know, the GM and the coach need each other. But when John Robinson and Vrabel were on the same page, things were very good. and they were getting good. You know, I mean, did they miss on a few? Of course, it's going to happen.
When was it that Robinson had that crying spell?
That was the year he got fired. It was the beginning of that season.
So 22.
Yeah,
he started crying at the con. I laughed. I was like, just
yeah,
didn't see it. I was just an odd thing.
But you know what? Even then, like, I'm like, ah, okay, where's this going? And, but even then, I wasn't like, well, he's going to get fired.
No. But it, you go back and look at that now in the context of what's happened since then. It's like, was there an ultimatum? Was there like, all right, you got us to the 21. You're the number one seed. You blew it in the AFC playoffs. You had everything. Like, now repeat that in 22.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know what goes on.
I do think you make a good point.
Yeah.
That he's got to be able to say, like, look, I mean, we drafted this guy, and he's here, and, like, you know. But I mean, he's got to be prepared to answer the other part of it of, well, was Vrabel the problem then?
Would you buy his book?
Oh, I'd be the first in line to buy his book.
What would be the name of John Robinson's book? Wouldn't me. Don't blame me.
What was the date of the AJ trade?
December something, right?
No, it was
oh, the trade. I'm sorry. I thought when he got fired. April something.
Yeah. Name it that. Or, you know, or from Johnson City to Nashville, the story of a Titan, or I don't know.
He's from Union City.
Or Union
City. Yeah. How about the title of his book is, excuse me, Miss Amy, you got a second? That's it. The title of John Robinson's book. I just think this, when I saw the Elijah Molden or heard the news from Kaiser this morning, I was like, good for Elijah Molden, good for John Robinson. Because I still don't blame him.
This is the cover photo. If you're watching on the stream. Oh,
he looks constipated in that picture right there. Just send it out.
We love John, but I don't know why that photo keeps popping up. He's just like,
But am I like you? Do I give him a pass for AJ Brown? I want to know the story. And people are like, well, you already know the story. No, I don't know the story. I want to know the story. I want to know how it all went down. I still want to know that.
I mean, here's the thing. I want to give him a pass for that, but I mean, he's still culpable in it. I mean, like,
I don't know. He's here. Where's Amy that night? It didn't just happen. I mean, I'm sure they had conversations.
She had Bunko.
Bunko with the ladies. Dr. Crane was there.
Love me some Bunko.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
he bought the Boone's Farm whiskey that night out there. Hey, ladies. And the
Zen Fondle.
Yeah. And your sweet charcuterie board you made for Caroline Fenton. That's really. Yeah.
They got more of those, by the way.
That's nice.
When did you make a charcuterie?
She got a deal on that one.
It was last year, somewhere around that. I had some nice cedar wood that came in. It was beautiful.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's right.
Dope.
You did great, though. I was like, you're making that for her? I mean, it was nice.
Well, she asked. I was like, I know.
I think she was pleased because it turned out – I mean, it would be good, but far better than anything that happened. But I just – I don't know. If John wants, I could help you give names for your book. Like – excuse me, Sammy, got a moment.
You know what? We both had a pretty good relationship with John.
Great one.
We should call him up and be like, John, we want to help you get back in the league. Will you trust us to be like your advisors?
Click.
Be like, John, can we come on your team and be your advisors? That's what you'd hear.
I don't know. I mean, I know why he can't talk. He's still getting paid by her, but – and if he does something like that, he is persona non grata. Nobody's going to touch him. And I understand that. But maybe one day before I leave God's beautiful planet, he writes that book. And because there's never really been – I know Jim Wyatt wrote a book on the Titans. McLean wrote one, which is really good, about the lead up to moving here to Nashville.
There was that one that's in here somewhere.
That came – whoever wrote that one.
Yeah.
I forget who wrote that. That you had somebody, right?
Yeah, it's right behind you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Justin. Yeah. Justin wrote that.
There you go. So there's been books, but none by, like.
Right.
Like, I think Floyd would have been a great
Floyd
book.
Floyd would have been an awesome one. And I do wonder if he was going to do that at some point. I mean, truthfully, he kind of did it every day. Because, you know, some of the stories that he would tell on Jared and the GM. Now, there's some that he wouldn't tell, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know an SEC coach who's a good friend, no longer in the SEC, who said that one day he's going to write a book and it'll be. But they all say that.
Yeah.
I read a book. You won't believe this. Really? But write the book then, right? I want to know the book that goes out. But I really want to know how that all went down. That really bugs me.
What would be so fun is, and you and I don't know how we would do this, but it'd be fun to do a podcast series with, like, you know, Nick Saban or, you know, Bill O'Brien, anybody. I mean, James Franklin, like, as much as, you know, he can be, you know, still, you know, if you just like, hey, we're going to do the tell-all and you just talk about this. What's the first thing you'd ask James Franklin about?
This is an awful question.
I know. I think we're going to say the same thing.
What did you know about the rape case?
Bingo. Yep.
Because I've heard all kinds of things. I want to hear it from you.
When did you know and what did you know?
Yeah, there's no way he'd go on a podcast.
No, he wouldn't. But I mean,
and I hate to bring it up because it's tragic. It's awful. I'd have to ask that.
Yeah, yeah. That would be like journalistic integrity there.
You have to ask.
You would have to.
But he says no or not. You have to ask.
Yep, for sure. Coming up next, we're going to ask Chris Sanders some fun questions. We'll talk to him. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hello. Is it Chris you're looking for? Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Friday. Chris Sanders joins us now, forever Titans wide receiver. I mean, don't you just feel good when you hear that song?
I do, man. It's funny. It's a funny song, and it's so nice, calm, and cool. But the one thing I like about the song is Lionel Richie's afro. I mean, he has the best the best afro and the best mustache ever. So that's what I like about the song.
Well, did you ever have one?
What? Absolutely.
Attaboy.
I think he, I'm
absolutely.
Pretty sure.
Absolutely. And it was awful. It was just kind of, it wasn't shaped right. So it was,
when you were,
I had that pig with the fist. I had one of those in my hair.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was about to say, you had like the mini fro when.
Yes.
In 99 or something.
Yeah, I did. But then I started getting a cul-de-sac. So I had to. I got that looking like George Jefferson, I had to cut it off.
I thought that was Derek. Never mind.
Ooh. He made good his hair out one time. Man, he looked like Gary Coleman. Whoa.
D-Mace is going to come in here and be like, why am I catching strays today? What I do?
I'm just kidding. That's my guy.
So, look, we're in that season, Chris, where, I mean, it's just like 1 week. It's going to be this guy, and the next week it's going to be this guy. What did you make about Cam Ward's comments on, you know, that he's going to make, like, if you don't take me, like, I'm going to make you pay for it. In one way, I like a little bit of the cockiness, like a little bit of, I think Trevor referred to it as professional confidence, something like that. But at the same time, is it a little too early to be trash talking, so to speak?
It's a lot early. Here's the thing. You just created a lot of pressure for yourself, because here's the thing. Say if the Tennessee Titans do take him at one and he throws his first interception and he throws another interception, the media is going to really get on him. There's nothing wrong with having confidence. There's nothing wrong with feeling good about yourself, but you got to do it in the compounds of what you're trying to do. You want to prove yourself first. Prove that you can play this game. Prove that you can lead a team to a championship. Then you say those things. But here's the thing. You haven't stepped foot in the NFL game yet, because it's totally different from college. College, you can keep your scholarship. But when you get into the point, when you're in the pros, if you don't play good for 1 or 2 years, they're going to get you up out of here. So just, I love the confidence, but just do it in the right way. That's all I'm saying.
I'm talking to our good friend Chris Sanders. Chris, this is for you. get it, man. when you're cutting a rug tonight, you can play this song.
I got to say Faith, though, instead of "Oh, she like it's oh, Faith." And you love it to the love. Oh, Faith.
Oh, yes.
Dude, that is a jam.
Is it not, man? Ready? RFTW, brother. Gets it done.
Ready for the world?
Yes.
It sounded like
ready
Prince.
Ready for the world. Now, that's the, if you go look at their video, and you see how their hair is like Jerry Curlis, that's how mine was in high school. So I look just like them.
He even looks like Prince. Sounded like Prince. It looked like Prince.
He's a big dude, too, man. That guy was huge. Looked like Lee Haney.
Oh, my God.
He was huge.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, you know, we got the combine coming up.
Sure.
Are we going to see a time when that combine is just nothing? It's going away because you got guys who show up. They do the interviews. I get that.
Yeah,
but they're not going to run. They're not going to bench press. I'm like, then why are you here?
Yeah, I know, and I think that guys should go through. But see, the guys that are doing it know they're going to get drafted in the first round. But here's the thing. Here's the reason why I know they're going to keep the combine is because you got guys that really have to jockey for a position to show that they can play this game. And I know it's a small piece of what they're doing, but the bigger piece is when they do the individual workout. But when I first got to the combine, I was basically still an unknown. And when I say unknown, everybody's like, oh, he's a track guy trying to play football. So I went in there showing that I'm a football player that happens to run track. So what I did the gauntlet drill. I did the cutting drills. I did the catching. And I proved myself, then jockeyed myself in a way to get into the third round. So now we come into the individual workouts. They already saw me at the combine. Now they get to really see me close up. And they saw that I can run. They saw I can get out of my cuts. They saw that I can run routes. So, yeah, I know some of the guys don't do the combine. But you got still guys are jockeying for a position to get in the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh round.
So if you don't get invited to the combine, I've heard some guys talk about, man, it really hurt me. But then on the flip side, you got a guy like Kevin Byard who's like, all right,
absolutely,
you don't want me in Indianapolis? Well, here's what you're going to see me do. And he did over at TSU, and he was just great.
Absolutely.
So I see the 50-50 of this. I see guys with a chip on their shoulder like, oh, I didn't get invited? All right, well, you're going to pay for it now.
Yeah, well, see, it's funny that you say that because we had a guy my senior year. His name was Preston Harrison. And at the beginning of the season, he broke his tailbone, so he couldn't really play the whole season. So now he gets into the individual workouts, and he was a linebacker at the time. That joker ran 4.39. So when you ran a 4.39 at the individual workouts, here's a guy that didn't play the whole season. Nobody knew about him, but he went through the drills and showed that he was a football player and got drafted the fifth round.
Ooh.
I mean, it all depends on what you do with your individual workout. Everybody knows the Shedeur Sanders, the Hunters, the Cam Wars, Abdul. All those guys are going to get drafted in the first round. But then you have those guys that go and that you don't know nothing about. He runs a 4.3 or a 4.2, and his drills are incredible. Next, you know, he gets drafted in the sixth and seventh round.
I think, you know, it's funny about that. I heard TD talking with, that might have been Jared, about Shedeur Sanders. You know, and I always want to see guys where they're getting the hell beat out of them, how they get back up. And there was
that game,
I think it might have been the Nebraska game, where they beat the snot out of him. And that dude popped back up every single time. That's what I want to see. A combine is not going to show me that, right?
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. That's what makes Shedeur Sanders so well. What is one of his great attributes? His great attributes is mental and physical toughness.
Yes.
I mean, we see that in that guy. I mean, that's what makes him so special. I think, this is just my opinion, I think Cameron Ward is a better quarterback, but mentally I think that, you know, Shedeur Sanders is better. So when you go out and you prove that, you get hit in the face, you take criticism, and you keep popping up, those are the kind of cats that you want on your team. Just like a Steve McNair. Steve McNair, let me tell you something. Steve McNair is one of the toughest guys I've ever been around. Not that he did everything right, but he's going to lay it on the line. He's going to have a broken sternum. He's going to have a broken rib. He's going to have, you know, a broken ankle, but he's going to figure out a way to fight through the pain to help his team. That's the kind of cats that I want.
Chris Sanders is with us. So when you're looking at – we know that the Titans got to fix the offensive line. There's no question
Absolutely.
That they have to address that. But when you're looking at quarterback, do you build the offensive line in some ways based on the type of quarterback that you have? Like, could Shedeur Sanders maybe have a different type of O-line than Cam Ward?
You hit it right on the head because you can be a great quarterback. You can go through all your reads. You can do all the great things. But if you don't have a great offensive line, you can't – your whole skill set can come to fruition. Let me give you a perfect example. Just watching the Super Bowl. If you look at Mahomes was uncomfortable. Why? Because his offensive line was getting destroyed. This is a guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's run a lot of Super Bowls already. But when you get into a game and you feel uncomfortable in the pocket, you can't go through your reads. You can't – you consistently get off your spot. You can't do all the things that you're familiar doing. You're going to look like an average quarterback because your offensive line is getting destroyed. So now to answer your question, you have to get an offensive line that protects your quarterback so his skill set can come to fruition.
Very good stuff. Chris, have a wonderful weekend, my friend.
Man, I love you guys. Appreciate you, fellas.
You too. Yeah. Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the show, as he always does. Coming up next, Nashville SC opens their season tomorrow night at Geodis Park against New England. BJ Callahan, their head coach, will join us coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Friday. And coming up tomorrow, Geodis Park, the boys in gold are back at it as Nashville SC gets their season underway. And we're delighted to have on for the first time on our show, BJ Callahan. He's the head coach of Nashville SC. Coach, how the heck are you?
Yeah, great. You know, back from Florida after a couple weeks of preseason and back excited to be in our own facility, training on our own fields. We look forward to Saturday's match at home.
Yeah, and you took over last year and had roughly 15 games or so under your belt. How much does that help you move it into this year, even though there's been quite a bit of changes with your roster?
Yeah, I mean, any amount of time you get to spend with the group and be around the organization and start to build relationships, I think always helps. So for us, it was an opportunity that we looked at as almost like a head start into 2025. We aligned our short-term goals, which was to try and make the playoffs with a late push, but also with long-term goals in mind. And we spent a lot of time in the background building the profile, building player profiles, building the way we want to play. So that we were able to attack the 2025 season as quick as we could.
What do you like about this roster? Because you have a nice mix of veterans, guys like Hani that have been here for a long time, and then also you've brought in a lot of young guys that hope to add a little spark to your roster. So what do you like about the mix?
Yeah, we really like the mix because I think last year when you look at it, there was still a lot of good in the club. There was a lot of, whether that's on the field or off of the field. And so we were just looking to build upon that. And now we're excited that we were able to add a few new pieces, kind of like, I would say, reposition and replenish the roster a little bit and diversify it with types of players, freshen it up, but at the same time, always building on the good foundation that was here. And so I think, kind of combining that gives us two positive steps forward.
BJ Callahan here with us on the Chase and Big Joe Show. BJ, I got to ask you, you have Patrick Yazbek, Eddie Tagseth, two guys that are solid midfielders for your group, and you add a new guy, Ahmed Kasim, coming to the group this past week. Now, I just got to know, what is it about the Scandinavian Premier League? Is it something your scouts enjoy watching, that style of football, or is it something that complements your style of the game? What is it for you guys?
That's a great question. I think it's more just coincidence. I wouldn't say, we have a great scouting team here. We have markets that we've targeted that we think translate well to the MLS. We're very detailed with our player profiles on how we're looking at players, but we are searching in a very global way, whether that's from South America to Scandinavia to Europe to Africa to everywhere. And so I think it ends up honestly just being coincidence that they ended up from Scandinavian countries. I think all three of them are unique in their own way, but at the same time fit the way that we want to play here at Nashville.
You mentioned about the player profile earlier. I'm just curious with him, Kasim, excuse me. He has a good profile of playing in the Serie A, playing in La Liga, playing against Premier League, Tottenham, and Europa League, that is. I'm just curious, when it comes to a player profile, what attracted you as a coach towards him?
Yeah, I think he's a versatile player that can play across probably the three midfield positions, whether it's left winger, right winger, or a number 10. Very comfortable in between the lines, a player that looks to play make, trying to get his teammates involved and not afraid to run into the hard areas in the penalty box. And so for us as a team that wants to generate more high quality goal scoring chances, and we want to score more goals. I know it sounds a bit obvious and cliche, but I think in this league, you have to be a goal scoring team. He has those qualities that can not only, I think, score goals, but I think some of his greatest qualities is setting up his teammates to score goals.
We're talking to BJ Callahan on the Chase the Big Joe Show. Coach, how do you scout heading into the season? Because, in football, you get the preseason games, basketball, exhibition games. How do you scout when you get ready for a team like New England?
Yeah, we scour the same way anybody would be, to try to find their the games that they have streamed, the games that they have live. Obviously, they've had a big roster turnover as well. And so you dig deep on individual players, learning about the opponents that we're going to play. So it's a little bit on an individual basis as well as it is, on the team concepts that they're going to do. But we have a pretty well-defined way we go about preparing for each opponent and breaking them down. And, you know, we do the same versus New England, even though you probably do have a little bit of limited information because it's just coming out of preseason matches and they haven't played a real match yet.
And that's why the first games, I would think, as a coach, you're just nervous because you're trying to get your team to gel. You're worried about what the other team's doing because you really haven't seen a whole lot of them. I mean, it's I guess there's a method to all the madness, I would think.
There's definitely a method to the madness. You know, I think we have, again, we have our process on how we want to approach the opponent. But at the same time, I would say there's a significant focus early in the year on ourselves and just making sure that we're prepared on how we want to execute our game plan, you know, versus New England versus maybe changing anything due to New England. So, yeah, I mean, we're continuing to pound the same messages that we want to do as our team so that we can put out good, consistent performances when, you know, with the first one coming Saturday night.
BJ Callahan here with us. And we, you know, we talked earlier about the mix of the veterans and the young guys. A guy that I think anybody that's going to scout your club is going to look at is Walker Zimmerman. And, you know, somebody that's been here since day one, does a lot with Team USA and plays for them. You know, how do you see him flourishing in your system, and what do you want to see him do that maybe you didn't get to see in those 15 games last year? What would you like to see this year?
Yeah, I think the demands that we've put on Walker are that, you know, he's on the ball, controlling buildup, advancing our buildup to try to get it into the midfield so we can go, you know, we can attack the goal. His ability to obviously win aerial duels and win his individual matchups against, you know, really talented strikers in this league. The ability to cover space behind the back line is a big thing. And then we want him to continue to be a weapon on offensive set pieces. And so for us, it's just about, I think, all of those things are things that people have seen him do across his career. And for us, it's just for him to continue to execute those at a super high level.
BJ, going into, you know, the opening game for match day one, at the end of the preseason after Austin, you mentioned that you weren't really sure what your starting 11 is going to look like on night one. Now, with the addition of Ahmed Kasem, what is that going to look like now? Is it just going to add more depth to the substitutions, or is it going to be just one of the things where you got to ease him into it and he'll be an everyday type guy?
Yeah, I would say we still don't know what our starting 11 is going to be, but the addition of Ahmed gives us, you know, more depth for sure. A lot of guys have had opportunities in the preseason to play good minutes as well. So there's real good, healthy competition in the group right now. And I think as we get closer to Thursday, Friday, we'll be able to narrow down who we want to have as that starting 11.
Hey, Coach, we're happy to fire up Football Club 25, and we'll see what we come up with. We can help you out with that if you need it.
Appreciate it. No one is sure to give in their opinion. So I value and respect all opinions.
Speaking of positioning, Coach, you know, going back to the signing of Ahmed Kasem, I'm curious because you mentioned he's an attacking midfielder. You can play him on the left and right wing, also in just a midfielder attacking position. Is he resemble more of like an Alex Moyle? I'm not saying style of play, but in that position where it's out on the wing primarily.
Yeah, I think you see Alex is a great example of the development that he's shown over the last, I mean, maybe 4 to 5 months. Is a player who's comfortable coming inside, receiving the ball, running it back lines, you know, making the penalty box. I think Alex had a career high in goals last year, you know, by just arriving in the penalty box and benefit of some action. So, of course, you know, I think for us being, you know, looking for that type of profile is what we're looking for, whether it's Alex, Ahmed, or anybody who plays on the wing. That's the positional demand that we ask from there, and we want to set our players up to have success.
No doubt. Coach, thanks so much for doing this. We're excited to get the season going and obviously get to know you a little bit more, but thanks so much and good luck Saturday against New England.
Thanks. Appreciate having me, guys.
That is BJ Callahan, head coach of Nashville SC, and again, they're opening their season tomorrow against New England, starting at 7 at Geodis Park. Coming up today, don't forget Vanderbilt Baseball as the Commodores host St. Mary's. The game time has been moved. Pre-game at 1:45, the first pitch at 2 over at the Hawk. Coverage available on 94.9 The Fan. You can listen on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. We'll come back. We'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays on this Friday. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe on a Friday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I'm glad it's Friday. I can just tell you that. We'll do birthdays and all of that in just a second. But, again, a big weekend in Nashville. Got the Preds, 5 o'clock start tomorrow and on Sunday. Nashville SC, Vanderbilt baseball, Vanderbilt basketball, Vanderbilt women's basketball, MTSU going on as well, Belmont. I mean, everybody. There's a lot of stuff to do sports-wise this weekend, so it should be a lot of fun.
I'm getting texts from people that need to stop bothering me during the show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One is a Chase McCabe. It's like, hey, man, what are you doing this weekend? I'm like, there's a lot going on.
There sure is. That is for sure. But you know what? It's time for our favorite. What day is it? And celebrity birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
And it is presented by Jared Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards, electrical services, which include installations, inspections, upgrades, and replacement. Just go to online at jaredcompaniesinc.com.
All right, gentlemen. First on the list, we have Card Reading Day. So if you, you know, have a birthday or something,
just read some cards.
Read some cards.
That's good.
International Mother Language Day.
Oh, I know. There's one international sign that works everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I bet.
Thumbs up.
National Caregivers Day is next. Let's see.
That's a good one.
Down on the list here. National Grain Free Day. National Sticky Buns Day is next. Yeah.
Those are, you can
find a few of those every now
and
then.
I bet you do.
At the bakery.
Yeah.
National Woman's Heart Day is next. Love that. Love your mom. How about that? Shout out to the moms. Single Tasking Day. Not sure what. World Kombucha Day is next.
Is that drink?
That is. You know, I found something out about kombucha over this past week.
Yeah, what'd you find out, buddy?
It's a bacteria.
So is that good for us or bad for us?
It can be good. It has nutritional value in some form and fashion.
I wouldn't market it that way, but that's just me.
Yeah, just...
Hey, have a glass of bacteria.
I'll show you the video afterwards to both of you.
All right.
I'm done. Yeah, up to the birthday.
What was the first one you had?
National Card Reading Day.
Yeah.
So could that be gambling as well? Can't you read cards in Vegas? Chase, you're a Vegas guy. Can't you get kicked out for reading something like that?
Yeah, for counting cards.
Counting cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shows you what I know. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. It's been a good week for neither one of you. Our first birthday today is C-3PO, actor Anthony Daniels. How old's Anthony Daniels?
81.
76.
79. Chase gets that. Is C-3PO the biggest sissy in cinema?
Yeah, I think so.
He's always gloom and doom, right?
Yeah. He's just, he's always scared of everything.
Sorry.
This is not a good idea, R2.
All right. Actress Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Party of Five. Bunch of different things. I'm going to say 45.
48.
46. Chase up 2-0. By the way, the picture of Jennifer Love Hewitt, she's at the premiere of the 911 event in California.
Maybe she's in that.
Maybe she'll come here.
Yeah.
The very funny, very talented Jordan Peele. Today's his birthday.
Is that Key and Peele?
It is.
I'm going to say 44.
42.
46. Chaser popping the outsides. 3-0. He's up right now. Na 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 na. Don't know who that is. More celebrities. Let's see if we know any of these guys here. Record company executive David Geffen.
Oh.
He's very popular.
I'm going to say he's 78.
80.
82. Dr. Crane's on the board. 3-1. From Cagney and Lacey, Tyne Daly.
Oh, wow. 87.
89.
79. The great actor from CSI, William Peterson. He kind of started that franchise.
Yeah. Grissom. 67.
65.
72. Singer Mary Chapin Carpenter.
58.
63.
67. Actor Christopher Atkins. He was in Blue Lagoon with Brooke Shields. Is that right? Yeah.
Oh, wow. 61.
58.
64. Actor William Baldwin. Billy Baldwin. Married to the
Billy Baldwin. I'm Alec Baldwin.
Married
Kim
to the
Bassinger, bass singer.
Married to the Wilson Phillips girl.
58.
62.
62 exactly. Nice. Dr. Crane's tied it at three. I like this.
Backdraft is a great movie.
Oh, my Lord. At the end.
Oh, yeah.
The funeral procession.
Yeah.
Whew. You get me now, man. That just. Actor Corbin Bleu. He was in High School Musical. He was a cutie with curly hair and the different colored eyes. Corbin Bleu. Look, I watched that stupid movie 1,000 times with my daughter.
37.
34.
36. Chaser takes lead 4-3. Go down, drop down here. Nobody there. All right, we got three left. This for Joe Rexroad. Detroit Tigers second baseman Alan Trammell. World Series champion in 84. Alan Trammell.
65.
61.
67. Chaser up 5-3. Braylon Edwards, former Michigan receiver, and now he played with the Browns for a while.
40.
38.
42. He's up 6-3. Our last birthday. Dr. Crane, you ready?
Let's do this.
All right. Where'd you go back there?
I just had to grab something from my backpack.
Okay. This last one's worth 4 points.
4 points.
Chaser's up 6-3. This birthday, in honor of you, Dr. Crane, how old, and Chaser will go first, how old is Kelsey Grammer?
Oh.
It's worth four. Kelsey Grammer is the name for our Dr. Crane back there.
Dr. Fraser Crane, I'm listening, is...
It's worth four, Chase.
72.
74.
At the buzzer, he does not get it. He's 70. Chase wins.
Why? Why?
7-3. It's what Ryan Seacrest does on your favorite show. There you go.
Chase 70, how old? 73?
70. He's 70.
70.
You had 72. He had 74.
Okay.
Well done. So that's it. So, Chase, you win the week 3-2.
Well, thank you very much.
Top notch, Chase.
Appreciate it.
Who's this brought by?
Thank you. Yeah, brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Above and beyond industry standards. Visit them at JarrettCompaniesInc.com.
There we go. The weekend's here, guys. Next week's going to be a little bit bright, a little sunny. We talk about going through the dark clouds because they move out and they got beautiful sunshine ahead. That's what we have weather-wise. But also in your life, if you're going through something, please reach out and talk to somebody. Know that brighter and better days are ahead. I've been there. I know what it's like. You've been there. You know what it's like. Reach out. On your cell phone, you can dial 988 or you can text 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you. Before you do anything, I'm telling you, you would be tremendously missed if something happened to you. We want you to know that you're tremendously loved. Reach out to us. Remember, we love you. More importantly, more than anything else going on, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll, DVD coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.